Cryptographers and shortwave enthusiasts have known about them for years, but they're one of radio's most enduring mysteries. Simon Fanshawe now takes us to the outer limits of the bands and into the clandestine world of the number stations in Tracking the Lincolnshire Poacher.
3, 9, 7, 1, 5, 3, 9, 7, 1, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, 4, 5, A world of alleged spooks and spies, of conspiracies and covert operations, of illicit transmissions across the globe to secret agents on undercover operations. Or perhaps just a world of fantasies, in the grip of a Cold War hangover, imagining it all just to fulfill their big brotherly paranoia. Either way, what I'm about to show you is at the very least curious, and possibly very scary indeed. Ever since the height of the Cold War, radio enthusiasts across the globe started to notice strange, beguiling broadcasts on the outer limits of the band, anonymous transmissions that all had a similar shape to them. Each had a call sign, followed by sets and sets of numbers, usually in groups of five. They are read aloud in disembodied, simulated voices, in languages ranging from English and Spanish to Czech and Chinese. Hour on hour, day after day, some so regular you could set your watch by them. They transmitted what people believed was code information and became known to shortwave radio enthusiasts as the number stations.
2251.
They gave them suitably identical names. The Russian Man, Bulgarian Betty, Swedish Rhapsody, the English Lady, and the Lincolnshire Poacher. And they're still on the air today in their hundreds. One man in particular became obsessed by them, Akin Fernandez. And several years ago, he started to record, collect, and archive them in what he called the CONET Project.
Number stations are believed to be the encrypted transmissions of secret services like MI5, the CIA, and Mossad to their agents in the field.
Have you ever even got close to understanding what you're listening to?
No, nobody's been able to decode a number station as far as I know.
Have there emerged patterns in terms of shaping their broadcast and the different categories? And is there a very obvious picture that they all have kind of family resemblances in each of the categories?
Absolutely right. They are the ones that transmit with a voice.
00011.
There's the ones that transmit in Morse. And there are other types that transmit some kind of noise or bleep.
And is there a schedule? I mean, a sort of number stations radio time.
Some of them do work on a schedule, a very rigid schedule. In fact, so rigid you could set your watch to it. Others don't appear to have a schedule. They appear seemingly randomly. And the only reason why we have schedules at all is because people are very studiously monitoring stations and then making detailed logs.
People like you, for example.
It was almost therapeutic. It's something that I had to get out of my system. I was spending hours and hours in front of the radio making these recordings, and putting this together and putting it out in the public has more or less cured me, I think.
Akin Fernandez is not alone in his fascination with number stations. Shortwave sleuth Simon Mason discovered them as a teenager and has been riveted by them ever since.
I was fascinated by the noises and the different stations and all the different weird sounds that came out of it. And gradually I began to make sense of it. There were broadcast stations like the BBC World Service and Voice of America in one section. And then there was another section that nearly held all the shipping traffic. And then somewhere in between there were these strange stations playing weird melodies. And bizarre Bavarian Earkel music, followed by these people reading out five-figure numbers.
And this was, what days are we talking about?
We're talking about the early 70s. And what was even more notable about these is that nobody knew what they were. You'd read books, there was nothing in books. You could ask anybody you liked and no one knew anything about them.
Curiouser and curiouser. Even though no one seems to know exactly when number stations began, they didn't just start bleeping out of nowhere. The use of shortwave radio in espionage, a low-tech but effective means of transmitting coded data, is in a great John Buchan 39 Steps tradition, which dates back at least to the Second World War. This was a time when radio transmissions could be decoded and deciphered to convey amazing information about the enemy, as signals expert and cryptographer Owen Lewis told me.
If you go back, for example, to World War II, I seem to remember that the BBC stopped broadcasting Big Ben live. And they took a recording of Big Ben at each hour, and they simply played the recording. They never, ever did it live. And the reason for that was to stop the Germans extracting meteorological information from the sound of Big Ben.
What you're saying is that you can extract information from anything. Is that your point?
You can extract information of some sort. You get a big bell being struck. The amount of water, for example, in the air at that moment will affect the way that it sounds, and the amount of echo that you get. The clouds may affect it.
Christine Large is the Trust Director at the home of the Enigma Codebreakers Bletchley Park.
People have been trying to keep information and messages secret for just about as long as recorded history goes back, at least the Egyptians and the Greeks. And there were some very basic methods. One of them was shaving a messenger's head by a message, letting the head grow back and sending off the messenger to deliver it. In the Second World War, a very good example of the work that was done here at Bletchley Park is that in connection with Abwehr Enigma and breaking that particular system, and amateur radio listeners were used, the operation that they had was eventually known as the Radio Security Service, the RSS, and it had headquarters in Wormwood Scrubs, as it happened. But these amateur listeners intercepted traffic that had messages which were destined for Hitler and his generals. And the information that they gained from that enabled us to arrest incoming German spies.
All around the globe, number stations are still very much on the air. Finding them isn't difficult either. You just need a radio and an open sky, or in this case, a back alley in Kensal Rise and Simon Mason. Normally I've come to an alleyway at the back of somewhere like Kensal Rise in order to try and do this surreptitiously.
No, I'm usually in a conservatory in East Yorkshire.
What, the bottom of your garden?
Yes, that's right, yes. So I've got a long wire in the back of the garden that boosts a signal.
The radio here is saying that it's 1359, so obviously we're waiting for 1400, which is 2 o'clock in English, because it happens on the hour. We've just got a perfectly ordinary radio here.
It's an old band radio from long wave right up to the top of the shortwave band continuously. 4 seconds to go.
I feel a bit like...
Oh!
That is Lincoln's departure.
That's quite bizarre. So we'll get the tune, and then in a moment the numbers will start.
Between 1400 and 1410, it's a 1 5-figure header. That tells you what message it is. And then at 1410, it sends 200 five-figure groups, which is the message proper.
And how do you know that?
I've studied the Lincoln's Punch for about 16 years. So its habits are always well known. It's always fixed, it always broadcasts at the same times, the same frequencies, always 200 five-figure groups. It does that because it doesn't alert anyone in the world to any events that it might relate to. So it's always 200 five-figure groups where there's nothing going on, or there's all hell going on.
So weird, because you suddenly hear the numbers go, you suddenly hear this strange voice. Is that a woman or a man? I can't...
0, 6, 3.
It's a synthesised female voice, it's not a real person. It's just a voice computer.
4, 7, 5.
There have been cases where real people have been reading the numbers out, but most of them now use automated numbers. This is all pure conjecture, of course, because you know the people behind this station don't broadcast that they're the perpetrators. No one has ever come out on the number station world and admitted to being the sender of a broadcast.
Well, there it is, the Lincolnshire Poacher live. The question is, who's actually doing this? Who's behind the mysterious Spanish lady, the Swedish Rhapsody, the terrifying gongs, and our man the Lincolnshire Poacher? These stations that both Akin Fernandez and Simon Mason have spent hours listening to.
Whoever designed the Lincolnshire Poacher, they certainly have a sense of humour. They've made the voice a British voice. It has different intonation at the end of every single group of five numbers.
4, 7, 5.
And they've picked this folk tune as basically its theme song. It's quirky, it's illogical, it's irrational, and I want to find out who's behind it.
The Swedish Rhapsody was made famous by Mantovani, played on a music box, followed by a very young sounding German female. It sent out five-figure groups after the Swedish Rhapsody tune finished.
The girl would say, Achtung, and then she would say, Gruppe, Neuen, Neuen, and then she would go into the groups, spieling them out until they're finished. The Spanish lady is another number station, and we can infer that it's a lady, so it's a female voice, and she's speaking in Spanish. It's the station that comes out of Cuba, I think.
The gongs were the most sinister of the number stations. The gongs would literally send a shiver down your spine. They started off as some sort of church gongs, but they seemed to be recorded on an old reel-to-reel tape that stretched over the years. So the amount of wow on the tape made the gong sound really weird. This is an old East German Stasi station that used to come on the air every evening.
I couldn't help wondering if the whole thing might still be one huge radio prank. The audio daubings of some mad pirate DJ. A hoax. Aliens from outer space?
If you buy a shortwave radio and you go and tune it any time of the day or night, you can find number stations. Now, if this were some kind of performance artist, it's first of all somebody who has a lot of money, and he's been doing it for 30 years in a bewildering variety of forms. Secondly, he's got to be one of the biggest radio pirates in the history of radio, because these transmissions are unlicensed, and he's been violating laws all over the world, and that is not satisfying for anybody who wants a reasonable explanation.
Richard Norton Taylor, who's written about the security services in The Guardian for years, argues that the post-war history of spookdom might lend credibility to the theory that number stations really are secret spy transmissions.
All the evidence is, in past cases, during the Second World War and afterwards, the beginning of the Cold War really, in the 40s and early 50s, the number of spies caught in Britain were found to have shortwave radios on them. Communications were basically used for guidance, for instructions, for warnings, for discussing, you know, movements maybe. It can actually give real intelligence a sense of movements of, say, an enemy troops. It's gobbledygook, you know, what on earth the messages are. But there's a simplicity of it, and everyone can hear it if they want to. But it's destined for one listener, and only one listener can understand it.
This view is generally shared by the former MI5 operative, David Shager.
Well, if you've got agents in the field, you would want to give those agents instructions.
The curious thing is about it, it's quite secure, isn't it?
Well, this is it. I mean, you've only got to look at Hello, Hello, for example, to see the benefit of using shortwave radio and a code. I mean, obviously, they had the code book in that. Well, this is absolutely simple. It can be done in many, many different ways. I mean, one of the best and simplest codes to use is if you both have the same edition of a book, for example. And you can then take words out of that book by communicating by what page it's on, what line it's on, what stage it is in the line of the book. And, of course, make it even more complicated. It wouldn't be as simple as that. It would be, say, 2 added to the page number, 1 taken away from the line, 6 added to the word number on the line, whatever. And those codes are impossible to break. I mean, despite all this modern technology and so on, these really are simplest ways to communicate. And they have none of the comeback that we have now. I mean, for example, email traffic, mobile phone traffic, all telephone traffic, you can build up a picture of people's contacts. Even if you don't know what they're saying, is you can build up patterns of activity and so on from those kind of records. Whereas this, of course, has none of that comeback, because nobody's actually receiving a telephone call. All they're doing is putting a radio on and listening to stuff that's out there in the ether.
3, 5, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1. Number stations offer several security benefits.
Bletchley Park Trust Director, Christine Large.
One of them is that the equipment that's being used, if it were found in any situation, would be recognised as anything irregular. So therefore, a landlady or landlord making a cleaning visit to somebody's room wouldn't pick up that there's anything strange going on and report it back. All they would see would be an ordinary piece of radio kit that could be bought virtually anywhere.
I'm still not convinced. Not because I live in a Heidi world of plat-twirling innocence where governments just don't do this kind of thing. I'm sure they do. But where is the evidence that behind the number stations lurk states and their secret agencies? I pressed the signals expert Owen Lewis for a definitive answer. Not with any great success.
Those who use wireless for communications very often use codes, ciphers, to disguise what it is they're saying and so other people can't understand. This is not just military, it's not just government. Commercial organisations, including, for example, fishing fleets, have used codes and ciphers for a long time.
2251.
All right, so to what conclusion does that lead us about who might be doing it?
It doesn't give us any indication as to who is doing it, except that they want communication at international ranges.
All right, I've asked you the question about 3 or 4 times now, and every time what you do is describe the method of communication, the distance of communication, but who do you think might actually be doing it?
Quite simply, someone who wishes to have a private conversation. Or it's a one-way, it's not a conversation, it's a monologue. It's a one-way passage of information.
But what sort of information might it be?
Whatever they want to use it for.
Well, I'm still not getting any definite answers over here. So let's try Minneapolis and the renowned security technologist, Bruce Schneier, while Akin Fernandez ranges across the Down in London.
You can't identify who the recipient is or where they might be. The recipient could be anywhere, you know, maybe, what, a third of the planet where that radio signal gets to. So as a covert channel, it works very well.
Tell me, what's 7.614, Akim, in the little display on the front?
That's a shortwave frequency on this shortwave radio. It's interesting for you to see this setup right now, because as you can see, I'm sitting in the middle of London, and if I was involved in espionage, I could just set up my little tiny radio right inside the room anonymously, transcribe my message, the message is over, turn off the radio, and go back about my business being a spy. That's China.
What is that? Is that a little more common wise in Chinese, do you think? What's going on there?
Bruce, I've spent some time listening to the Coronet Project and these number stations. How are these things encrypted and decrypted?
It's a manual paper and pencil system. You'd imagine that some agent who's in the field somewhere is told to listen on the frequency at a certain time and get the message. And if you listen to the number stations, you'll notice that sequences are repeated.
3, 5, 3, 5, 0.
And the idea would be you would know exactly when your numbers are going to be broadcasted. So you'll listen and you'll get your message. And then you will have some manual system that you've been taught where you can decrypt the message and find out what your orders are, what your instructions are, whatever it is that you have to know.
It may all sound very low-tech, this, but the manual paper and pencil system, it's called a one-time pad because each one is only used once, is utterly secure. And moreover, there's definite evidence that spies use it. In 1988, Erwin van Hollem, a Czech agent posing as a Bond Street art dealer, was caught by a special branch with a one-time pad hidden inside a bar of soap. And he's found guilty. At least his hands were clean. At any rate, it's a devilishly simple system.
I'm going to go down to the lower frequencies to see if we can find something down there.
In a one-time pad, you have a sequence of numbers in front of you, and you receive a sequence of numbers off the shortwave radio in this case.
1, 5, 7, 2, 8. 1, 5, 7, 2, 8.
And then you subtract the numbers you received from the numbers on your pad, and that gives you another set of numbers, and that's the plain text. And there's some easy way of converting numbers to letters and letters to numbers. 1 equals A, 2 equals B, something as trivial as that. That's mathematically unbreakable, and there's no way, short of getting a copy of the pad, for an attacker to know what the proper message is.
Christine Large.
There are different forms of one-time pads. The printed ones, often matchbox size, but rather a lot thinner. You can get them on microfilm, and they can be stored, for example, in a holiday pencil, in a coin, in a bar of soap, in a book, lots of imaginative places. Another feature of one-time pads, they have to be easy to destroy. So whether it's rice paper or whether, as rumoured, the Americans have one that turns into strips of chewing gum, you've got to be able to dispose of them very easily. So that means, in a sense, that agents will actually eat their words or their numbers.
So number stations are indecipherable to anyone without the pad that makes sense of the puzzle. And even the pad can be turned into a sort of on-the-run snack for spies. But even if we can't ever work out what the number stations mean, Akin and I are still back in the middle of London, monitoring the radio to find one. Little did we know that we were on the verge of something very rare indeed.
Oh, what's that?
What's that?
There you go.
3, 4, 9, 6, 4.
Number station.
It's quite bizarre. I'm going to get kind of very skeptical at that point, and suddenly we hit that.
This is a number station that I actually haven't heard before.
Okay, so, how do you know you haven't heard it before?
Because I know the sounds of all the number stations, well, all the ones that I've heard before. And look at the signal.
The signal's very, very... You mean the thing is right over in the left. That's a very, very strong signal.
If you look at it now, it's quite strong. This is quite a strong signal. I just can't believe it. Groups of five numbers spoken in English by a mechanical voice that is a male voice. We can note down the frequency.
Which is 9.359.
Wait a minute. The carrier is still there. The transmitter is still on. We just heard 6 0 0 0 0 0, which means the end of the transmission.
So, God, there's a kind of weird drama to this. It's quite strange.
It's absolutely unbelievable. A number station that's new to me. Just at random. That's really wild. That really, really is wild.
Well, wild, I'm not so sure. But it was curiously dramatic. Mainly because after all the questions, and all that we can say about number stations, there is still no way of saying for sure what they are. The security services won't even go on the record to deny them. And so the enthusiasts fight with the skeptics, the realists with the conspiracists. Stalemate. And yet, now a telegraphy curator at the home of the Enigma codebreakers Bletchley Park, David White was a former operative of the Foreign Office's Diplomatic Wireless Service.
On one of my postings in the late 1970s, I was sent to a foreign country, and it was just by chance that I came across a certain member of the staff that was one of the number readers. It was just a young lady who was part of a team that was delegated to read these numbers out. She didn't know what they contained, because it's all done from a department that's doing cipher. When you're involved in sort of thing, you do not question anything.
Bruce Schneier also argues there's no more reasonable explanation than the fact that government agencies are behind the stations.
Either they are actual covert activity, they are random numbers disguised as covert activity, they are a system set up for the potential of eventually using it as covert activity. There's no other reason why you would have random numbers being broadcasted on a shortwave. And if you look at the history of sort of when it started and how long it's been going, a government is the only reasonable entity who might do this.
Christine Large.
Number stations were evolved as a result of suspicions about intercepted traffic. The security services were looking for better ways of disguising the content of their message and protecting their agents. Some people thought that their use had tailed off, but it certainly, in recent years, has grown dramatically. There are many more groups of fragmented users in different countries. I think that people who listen in to the Lincolnshire Poacher regularly have established that he's probably not based in Lincolnshire. In fact, at a pretty good guess, in some area of Cyprus. And the assumption that the Lincolnshire Poacher is one of ours has certainly been made, but it won't be by me.
6, 6, 4, 7, 5. 6, 6.
A certain part of our secret intelligence services does run one of these stations. I won't say why, or give the schedules, but they certainly do. A lot of people have got radio direction finding facilities now. You can actually purchase them for the high frequency bands, and you'll get a line of transmission. The radio transmitter concern was tracked down to an area in Cyprus in the Mediterranean.
Cyprus transmitters or not, the poacher's real identity remains, officially at least, a secret. Is he really one of ours? And come to that, who is the Spanish lady? And does she dance to the tune of MI6 or the CIA? Richard Norton Taylor.
Classic spook policy is called NCND, i.e. neither confirm nor deny. the most, in a way, frustrating things, especially those people who just want to twiddle the knob and hear these things, they're sort of fascinated by it because it's there and it becomes a kind of mystery and they can't crack it, never will be able to crack it, actually. The people behind it are never, ever going to admit to it.
These stations, they shout at you.
Joaquin Fernandez.
They draw attention to themselves. They say, look at me, listen to me. I'm not the sort of person who can just sit down, come across something like number stations, which is completely counterintuitive, and just let it slide by. Are we on an explanation? I definitely think so.
2251.
They are indeed used by the intelligence services of particular governments anywhere in the world.
Former operative of the Foreign Office's Diplomatic Wireless Service, David White.
Some of these transmissions are hoax, but the great majority of them are genuine and serve a useful purpose to whoever is transmitting them. They are many, many play great difficulties to the authorities. These are often the ones that transmit in the number stations, reading out the numbers to different units, but others are quite legitimate of any particular government secret intelligence service.
It does appear that there's more to this than just the shipping news from Dogger or German Byte. All we can do is listen and wonder. But for now, goodbye. Or 0000 3 9 7 1 5 6 6 4 7 5 1 9 2 7 4 9 2 0 2 8. Tracking the Lincolnshire Poacher was presented by Simon Fenshaw. It was produced by Simon Hollis and was a Brook Lane production for BBC Radio 4.